You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we discuss the emphatic win over Sunderland and the Lee Bowyer goal, which earned Birmingham a point on Tuesday. Will a winter break be good for English football, and should we get rid of the old-timers sooner rather than later?
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to episode 62 of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's the usual lineup. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Good Christmas, guys. What have you been up to?
No, it was all right, yeah. A bit spot on, really. Food. Not so much drink this year, to be fair, but I'm sure the new year will cover that sort of issue for me. Relatively healthy, good Christmas time, it was good, yeah.
Did you get spoilt rotten as well? Did you get everything you wanted?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I didn't really ask so much, to be fair. You know, like I say, when you get to my age now, you don't really know what to get. It's all cars and ladies, and you know, I've got a lady, yeah, I've got a car, so...
And you didn't get either of those, no?
No, I didn't. I got Gran Turismo, though, for the PlayStation, so that's kind of a car.
That's good.
What about you, Duff? Do you have a good one?
Well, it's kind of cold. Like, I spent Christmas in Finland. I went looking for Santa Claus. I've not found him yet. But yeah, he's here somewhere, apparently. And yes, absolutely freezing. Minus 20. Which is... imagine sticking your head in a freezer, but it's like the freezer being all around you. It's not just your head. Like that. You can't walk outside for like 10 minutes. You can feel the nose hairs in your nose freezing. It's horrible. Horrible, horrible. But and also, these Europeans are kind of weird. They celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, which it doesn't sit quite right with me. So that was another strange thing. But not to criticise them too much, I was well fed 3 Christmas dinners.
Sad, is it?
Yeah, I think the gym will be being hit hard after New Year. So, but yeah, all good, all good.
Great stuff. It's good to hear. Well, we'll get started then by looking back at the two games that took place over the sort of Christmas period. First of all, the most recent game, which was, of course, the 1-1 draw with Birmingham on Tuesday. Dan, all the talk really post-match has been about Bowyer's equaliser, really. I mean, what's your take on all that? There was quite a few decisions that could have been given in the end, and no, it was allowed, and yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, it was strange, really, because I was watching it in the pub and, you know, Birmingham weren't really pressing for an equaliser. It came out of nothing, really. Some would say it came out of the blue, but there we go. No, but I mean, on my TV it looked marginally offside. some other people say it's not offside, but either way, you know, Ferdinand's being jumped all over by that Zigic fellow, and then obviously Bowyer tucked it in after the handball as well, so... Yeah, controversial, but we've had some luck over the past few years with goals and things like that, so you can't really blame the official too much. But I'll tell you what, if that comes down to us winning the league and Birmingham staying up, then Lee Mason's got a lot to answer for, hasn't he?
Certainly has. Hmm. And new look midfield trio, really, Dov. Carrick, Anderson and Gibson, how do you think they got on?
Not very well. I think... awe-inspiring is not the choice of description about that midfield. I thought they were all terrible. You may maybe say Carrick was the best of the three, but that would be giving him a lot of credit. Anderson, he's been fantastic in recent weeks, but really his passing was quite woeful against Birmingham. Didn't have that sort of incisiveness that he's had over sort of the Christmas period. Darren Gibson, Jesus, I think he should no longer be given a starting place in the United 11 after that game. Right, granted he played a 1-2 with Berbatov for the goal, but other than that, he did absolutely nothing.
I think differently, Dov. I thought he had an alright game, first game for quite a while as well. He's not a right midfielder though, is he? And I think second half when he moved into the middle, I thought he looked okay. you know, he was getting on the ball a bit. He was clearly knackered at the end, though. I don't know why Fergie didn't take him off a bit earlier. Because he was blown out of his ass with like 10 minutes to go, and Fergie was just looking at him, and it's like, come on. I thought he did all right on the ball, didn't give the ball away too much.
No, I didn't think he was very good at all. I thought he...
Well, arguably Anderson was worse than Gibson, though.
Oh, well, Anderson was terrible. The three of them were terrible. I really...
See, this is what I mean, you see. But I thought Kyle was good, right?
He was the best of a bad bunch.
Possibly. You can't come in early saying, oh, Gibson's not United quality when, you know, Anderson had a worse game than Gibson on... Right, Anderson's had a good three games beforehand, but...
But Gibson doesn't really generally have very many good games. The amount of times we've came on here and said Darren Gibson was terrible, Darren Gibson was terrible. I mean, how many bad games does the boy have to have?
I don't personally think I didn't see him as terrible in that game. You know, he didn't scream out for saying, oh, Gibson shouldn't be wearing the shirt and all this. Like, you know, I think people are sort of looking at his past performances every time he plays for United now, saying, oh, just comparing him to that. On every performance, I think he did all right today.
I think the lack of a reputation doesn't help Gibson. The fact he's not a big time player, like someone like Scholes, if he has a bad game, you can sort of put it to the back of the memory because of what he's achieved in his career. But someone like Gibson, it's really easy to sort of jump on his back when he does have a bad game. But no, I do go along with Dov, Dan. I don't think he's United class, to be fair. I mean, like you say, yeah, he wasn't awful, wasn't the worst performance against Birmingham, but I don't know, I just think we should...
Yeah, you didn't ask him whether he was United class, though. I mean, it's the fact that on that one game, I thought he did all right. He might not be well United class, but on that one game, I don't think he was our worst player by far.
I was just making a separate point there, if that's allowed, Dan. But just...
Of course it's allowed. But, you know, everyone's just thinking about Gibson and what he's done for the past year and a half or whatever, and oh, he only scores goals, which is fair. It's a fair comment. He doesn't do much else, but on that performance, I thought he was all right.
Fair enough. Just going back to the idea of the late equaliser, it's not the first time, is it, this season? I mean, is that something that is going to worry Ferguson, or do you think it's just, I don't know, a coincidence, really?
Don't know, really. Not on this occasion, because I think, like we said, you know, the way the goal came about, it was a bit unfortunate for United, but it's not like we lost concentration and gifted an easy goal, really. Mm. There's a few circumstances that hindered our defending as well, so no, I don't think it'll be too concerned, but it is concerning the amount of points we have dropped in previous games, yeah. And if we don't sort the away form out, I mean, I know we've not lost any away from home, but you know, we need to start picking up 3 points as soon as possible, really, because I think Chelsea will come good sooner rather than later. That 1-0 they got last night, you know, sometimes you just need a scrappy 1-0 win like that, and you're flying again, aren't you? No, I don't think we're too worried, but it is something that if it happens again where we do ship a late goal in for our own doing, then I think he will be worried, yeah.
10 or so minutes into the pod, and we haven't mentioned Dimitar Berbatov yet. Another fantastic goal.
It was a good goal.
The direct running as well. I mean, you saw he picked up the ball and obviously got it back and drove forward, and that maybe you don't see that as much with Berbatov because that's not really his style, but when he does it, he really can be effective.
He can be. It's all about confidence, you know. I mean, on the game on Sunday against Sunderland, he was doing the same thing. He was running at people, and he was the shot that hit the post was one of them. You know, he's running at the centre half and getting a shot away as well. So he's playing really well, and I think Ferguson's using him decent as well. You know, he's not playing every game, so when he does come in, he seems a bit fresher. But no, I mean, him and Rooney together when they're up front as a two, they're looking really good. I know Rooney played more to the left hand side against Birmingham, but when they actually combined, they looked okay. And obviously the little flick for the goal against Birmingham around the corner and then went for the ball back as well was tremendous, really. I think I texted you at the time.
Yeah, you were
well,
so particularly loving that moment.
A great finish as well, really. He could have gone across the keeper, which I think Foster was probably expecting, but he went near post and snuck in, didn't it? So, yeah, good.
Okay, well, we'll move on to look at the game that took place before that one, which was the 2-0 win over Sunderland on Boxing Day. Dov, really, really impressive attacking performance, really created plenty of chances. And against a Sunderland side that could have caused us problems on paper when you look at what they did to Chelsea not long ago as well.
They could have, but I think we had the early goal pretty much set the tone for the game. And really, I don't think there was any problems with getting the win there. The early goal settled us down, and then Sunderland didn't create anything. I think it took them to 78 minutes to get a shot on target, and that was when Zenden hit a long range shot, which like Van der Sar easily got behind, and they offered nothing, absolutely nothing, which was kind of surprising, because I think they've had quite a good recent record at Old Trafford as well. And obviously, away from home, they beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, they've taken points off Arsenal, things like that. So you would expect it a tough game, but maybe it was because Danny Welbeck wasn't playing and he's their talisman, so maybe that's what it was. But I think in that game, Berbatov was another, had a fantastic match, and obviously got his two goals as well. Second one a bit lucky, but they all count, as they say. And him and Anderson, for me, were the two best players on the park. And hopefully, we mentioned it just a second ago, that he seems to be running a lot more at defenders, and he's doing it against Sunderland, and look what happens when he does it. He's got three goals in two games. It's just that, will he keep doing it? That's the only thing that bothers me. If he can do it on a more consistent basis, fine. But he'll play two or three games against what you would say is lower class opposition and look fantastic, and then have another four or five games where he can't be bothered, strolls around the park. But when he's got that, well, you call it confidence, Dan, I don't know what it is, but when he's got that spring in his step, he's a different player, and he can do amazing things. He just doesn't do it enough. But I'll take nothing away from him. He was fantastic against Sunderland.
I think the game against Sunderland, I mean, I know Cattermole was missing, wasn't he? And I think he's pretty important to our Sunderland play. I know they had a few first-teamers out, but I think he's the one, really. He breaks up attack, doesn't he, and then gives the ball nice and simple. And I think that's what they missed, because their central midfield was awful against us. We just overran. Anderson overran it. Carrick was playing all right as well. And it was just the fact of, the two up front had loads of space. Ryan Giggs as well, he seemed to play a bit more central against Sunderland. He was running at players, and he was a handful, really. So I think it was an all-round good performance. Raphael, again, was playing well. He played well against Birmingham as well. I think he's amazing. I think in 2-3 years' time, Raphael will be the best right-back in the world. I really do believe that.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Just back to Berbatov briefly. There's, well, maybe not a lot being made of it, but a couple of suggestions that he's deliberately looking to pass to Rooney at the moment and set up Rooney so he can get that elusive first goal for however long it's been now. But do you guys buy into that, or do you think that's a load of rubbish, really?
He does seem to have been doing it the last few games, really. Not successfully, though. There's a few times on against Birmingham where he could have possibly had a shot himself or whatever, or played somebody else, but he's looking for Rooney, and the attacks fell down a little bit. Rooney's goal will come. I mean, that chip on Sunday against Sunderland was fantastic, really. If that goes in, his whole game changes, doesn't it? And he was trying on the Birmingham game as well, from long range, but it just wasn't coming off for him. I can't see where his next goal is going to come from. It is really weird like that, but I'm sure he'll get one off his thigh or off his backside or something, and then he'll be fine.
That's what will happen. It'll be pinball in the 6-yard box, and it'll
just come off his knee.
And well, Dan, Mr. Pessimistic, I want to put this to you. There are a lot of managers obviously complaining about the fixture pile up at the moment, and all these footballers on whatever money they're on. I mean, what do you make of all that? You'd be out there playing every day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I mean, it's different for us, isn't it? Because I mean, we're obviously fans, and it's a dream for us to do it. And it's obviously never going to happen for us three. And Steve, obviously, you play, so I personally would, imagine training, playing football every day, and just the only thing is, you've got a lot of commitments, haven't you, and a lot of sacrifices to make if you want to be a good player.
I'm sure I can put up with it.
Well, you probably could, but you might get into gambling or something like that, and or you might start drinking. Your talent's been thrown away, really. But or you could be like Jack Wilshere and just go and hit taxi drivers or something like that. But, I think the young players are on too much money, to be honest with you. I don't mind players like, I don't know, Rooney getting it, or Gerrard or something like that getting big money, because they deserve it. But players that don't deserve it are on like $5,000 a week, like just for a youth player sometimes. So yeah, that's
what about players like Daniel Sturridge?
Exactly. Sounds much is Daniel? He's one of the guys who just think he's taking it for granted a little bit, really. I mean, he held City to ransom, which is, it's not too bad as United fans, but it's not right really, football wise. He held them to ransom. City just said no, not doing it. But Chelsea were definitely enough to pay it, and I've not seen him have a good game since.
And Dov, as someone who obviously follows Serie A quite closely, what about the idea of a winter break in England? Do you think that is something that the FA should push on with?
It's difficult, because in Italy, everything shuts down at Christmas. Like, it's tradition. Whereas in the UK, it's tradition to have lots of football, like Boxing Day, New Year's Day, things like that. So what would you do on Boxing Day or New Year's Day when there's no football to watch? That's the thing. It'd be good for the players. Obviously, give them a rest, recharge your batteries, make for a more exciting second half of the season. But it's not what's done in the UK. That's the thing.
So do you think...
They'd still have to play games, though, wouldn't they, towards the end of the season or at the beginning? So I don't see why they'd get refreshed. Plus then you'll get all the England managers and all the international managers going, oh, you're playing three games in May before the World Cup in June or something. You'll never win with everyone.
Instead of having how many games have you had? Like, I don't know, like you've got five or six games in over 2 weeks. They just spread them out a little bit. It makes for me a better championship, because instead of players getting burnt out sort of when it counts like April time, so March, April time, they're fresher, so they can sort of go into that title charge as best as they can be instead of being burnt out a little bit.
Have you ever looked at a United team though in April and gone, oh, they look knackered? I've never done that. Never ever.
Well,
that's when we come good in April, May. That's when we charge to the title normally, you know what I mean? That's when we look all right. I don't see what the issue is here.
I'm not saying it's a big issue. Like, it's when Liverpool nearly stole the title of us, we kind of stumbled over the line a little bit. I'm not saying it's because of the fitness problems. Yeah, but
we came back from behind, though, didn't we? We came back from points deficit, so we can't have been that tired.
But at the end of the day, you have fresher players, therefore they don't get tired towards the end of the season. So
I can see it being an issue for, like, the teams at the bottom who are fighting for, like, survival. Because obviously they've not got the biggest squads anyway, but I think for the top-end clubs, I don't see it being an issue. They play in Europe as well.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
We'll look at the player and cabbage of the week now then. Excuse me. Who'd be your player of the week to start with, Dan?
Raphael, easily.
Wait a minute. You're meant to say Berbatov.
No, but hey, listen, Raphael, over the two games, I thought it was brilliant. I really did. Oh. I didn't think Berbatov was very good, obviously, getting the goals, but no, I think Raphael... I think he was immense.
And it's got a new favourite.
Dimitar, you have been dumped.
Dolph, who's it going to be? Player of the week for you?
It's a tough one. I wanted to give it to Anderson because I thought he was fantastic against Sunderland, although not so good against Birmingham. But then I don't want to give it to Berbatov. Just out of principle. So I think over the two games, Rio. I'm going to give it to Rio. I've not gave him a player of the week. I don't think ever, actually. I thought he was good against Sunderland. Didn't have much to do, but anything he did it well. And then thought he kept Jerome quiet against Birmingham as well. And it was maybe a little unlucky for the goal. So I'm going to give it to him this week.
Well, you left me no choice, really. It's got to be Berbatov. Three goals. Don't think there anything else needs to be said, really. Fantastic week for him. Cabbage of the week, then. Dov, let's start with you this time.
Cabbage of the week. It's difficult.
It is a tough one.
I thought I'd give it to Darren Gibson because Dan will probably like jump through the phone.
You give it to whoever you like, Dov. I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Darren Gibson. I thought he was terrible against Birmingham, despite his assist. He did have. There was one chance, quite near the end, before Birmingham scored, where he had absolutely unbelievable opportunity to square in. It was Berbatov. Who would have obviously gave us 3 points.
I knew you'd bring this up at some point. Right.
I didn't want to get it in there at the start. I thought I'd leave it a little bit and then get it.
Right, Gibson there, he's got the ball, and I know it's an easy pass, but Berbatov's just strolling, not even getting into the box. So if he plays it early, I don't think Berbatov gets there. So he's got to wait for Berbatov to actually move his body into gear, and then obviously the defender intercepted it.
So you're just criticising Berbatov for being lazy, Dan?
Yeah, I am for that in that moment, because he played that nice little pass, and he seems to stop, and then... Obviously, Gibson was away. Yeah, he didn't really make an effort for the turn pass until it was too late, I don't think. And by the way, I thought Gibson played all right when he came on against Sunderland as well. I thought he did okay.
Okay. What about your...
you still get the cabbage, though. You
can get it. You can get it all he likes, but I'm just defending the lad.
Who are you going to give it to then, Dan?
Edwin van der Sar. He really annoys me. he's a good keeper and everything, but you know when he gets the ball in his hands and just boots it up the pitch for no apparent reason? Like, he just aims for Rooney and that's it.
For no apparent reason? What else is he meant to do? He's not going to roll it out
Why does he have to look for the counter-attack every time? Every time I've seen him do it, it's happened about once or twice where we've had a shot at goal. He did it against Sunderland, he just kept on kicking it. And what are you doing? Just roll it out to your full-backs, let's start an attack. But no, he just boots it, then we lose the ball. And against a decent team, we'll get punished, I tell you.
Oh, dear. Okay.
What were you?
I don't know. I'm finding it really tough this week to pick someone out. I think I'm going to give it to Park, just because he'd been so brilliant in the lead up to the Sunderland game, and then wasn't quite as good as he has been. Obviously, off to the Asian Cup now, so I was kind of hoping he'd put in a really decent performance before he went off, but no, it wasn't to be. So Park for me this week. Well, no reserve team or youth team football again this week. So what about looking at the January transfer window then, guys? Obviously a couple of days away now from the new year and the window being reopened. Yeah, Diarra, Lassana Diarra. Dan, he's the latest to be linked. We've not been linked with too many players, to be fair, in recent times, because Ferguson's pretty much said he's not going to be spending any money. But no, that would be I think that would be a good signing if we managed to get him for a cut price anyway.
Definitely, yeah. I think he's a good player. He's not playing much for Real Madrid either at the moment. I mean, last game I saw, I think, was against Levante, and he played left, right back.
And that's what he gives you too as well, sorry to...
Versatility. He can play in a few positions, but I think he's a good player. I mean, I don't know whether we could possibly look at getting him on loan or something like that, because United don't seem to do that, do they, get people on loan? But I don't see why they can't have a little look at it. He wouldn't be able to play in the Champions League, though, would he? We need someone in that midfield, I think, just to win the ball back sometimes against the decent teams, because... Carrick, he's pretty flimsy, really, when it comes to doing that sort of thing. But and Fletcher's had a poor season, I think. Obviously, Gibson's still got his doubters. And Anderson battles very well, to be fair. That's the one thing you can credit Anderson with. He doesn't seem to give up on a tackle or anything like that. So I think we just need that one player, really. You can just break things up and give it simple.
Would you be looking to bring in if you were Sir Alex Ferguson?
To be honest, I think Diarra's a good target. I think we need somebody in the midfield. We've always said about a creative type of player, but I think Anderson's kind of stepped into that breach a little bit. He's really flourished in a more sort of attacking, creative role. I think maybe somebody, a left-sided winger, would be very, very useful, being that I think the only left-sided players we've got, or actually left-footed left-sided players we've got, is Ryan Giggs. I can't really think of any other ones, like Nani's right-footed, Park's right-footed, I think Obertan's right-footed as well. So... maybe somebody to play on that left side. It would be quite nice. I think striking department's fine. I say if we get Diarra or somebody like that, and we'd be okay. Obviously, Valencia come back. The coin of Sir Alex Ferguson cliche would be like a new signing. So I think other than that, we should be fairly happy, to be honest. So maybe a left-sided player. Maybe Contrao from Benfica. He seems to be highly sought after. Whether we can afford him or not is a whole different story. But somebody along those lines.
The thing with Ferguson as well, he seems to be very good at sort of keeping his targets under wraps. He doesn't give anything away, does he? I mean, you look at some of these top European prospects that are coming through, people like Contrao and obviously Bale as well. But no, you never see Ferguson say, yeah, we'd be interested in him, we might be looking to sign him. So I think it's any sort of signing he makes is usually a bit of a surprise, really. So no, I can't really see us doing any business in January, unfortunately. We've got obviously Lindegaard coming in, so we'll have to see just how well he sort of progresses and whether he gets any chances. But what about departures then? Do you see anyone leaving in January? Obviously, Kushak, we've mentioned that in the past, that he could be on his way.
I think the big one recently has come out is Makeda. Apparently, he's going to go to Serie A for a 6-month loan. He's got a couple of agents. There's a father and son team. The son came out like a couple of days ago and said that, yeah, Fergie wants him to go for some experience. And then the father came out, I think it was today, and said, no, that's not going to happen. So whether we see, or whether it does happen or not, will remain to be seen. But I think he could use with a good run somewhere. I think maybe a mid-table side like Fiorentina somewhere, that they'd get games.
Why would we send him to Italy, though?
Well, he's Italian.
It's very funny, but if he's going to play for United, he's not going to play in Italy, is he? Unless it's in Europe, you know, for one game. So why not loan him to an English club? It seems daft to say. I don't see the point in sending him to Italy. And I don't think he'll come back if he goes to Italy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if he went and did well somewhere, he'd probably just stay there. I think we saw, remember with Tosic as well, we sent him away and to a sort of European club, and he ended up staying there, so I think that would be a similar sort of thing with Makeda.
I think Fergie rates Makeda a bit too much. I think Tosic, I don't think Fergie sort of seen him and wasn't really convinced, so I kind of took the money where they could. But I think he really does rate Makeda and wants him to get experience. And like I've heard links, he's been linked with like Lazio quite a lot, obviously the team we got him from. I think maybe wants to go back to Italy for a little bit. But I think I don't think Fergie would let him go as easily as somebody like Tossage did. But I think 6 months anywhere, whether it is Italy or England, would be good for him as long as he's getting first team football, in my opinion.
And Dan, I've got a quick question for you, maybe a bit controversial, but what's your view on the way Ferguson sort of keeps his experienced players around the squad? People like Wes Brown, Gary Neville, I mean, they're not really getting much football at all this season, are they? I mean, would you be tempted to just sort of offload them and create room in the squad for a younger player to come through? Or do you think that it's the right thing to do when you've had players like that who have been long servants, and just to sort of let them see out their contract, if you like, and then maybe offer a coaching role at the end of it?
Well, I think obviously the people like Ryan Giggs, Neville and Scholes, they're going to be still with there because they offer a lot to the team. Maybe not as much Neville, but he's club captain, isn't he? So they're not really just going to ship him out. Wes Brown's a different one though, because he's not really played much the last sort of 2 years, I don't think, really. He always seems to be injured, and he's very inconsistent when he plays. His last good season was when we won the Champions League and the league, but since then he's not really done it, has he? And apparently he had a fallout with the manager as well in the summer, which won't help his case, but possibly Wes Brown will leave in the summer. Maybe not in January, but in the summer. I'm sure there'll be a lot of clubs that would want him, because he is a decent player. We know that. We've seen that he can do it. Who else would have you got? Van der Sar looking at retiring as well in the summer. It's an odd one, really. Like you say, though, to have them players around with the young players can only help them. Obviously, if we get someone like Cleverley back in January or whatever, someone young like that can be complemented by somebody old as well. So, and obviously Wes Brown, Scholes, Neville, Giggs, they all know how to win a league trophy. And obviously we're going for that this year.
Yeah, you mentioned Cleverley there. I mean, scoring a couple of goals in the Premier League as well. We talked about Makeda, that sort of sending him to a team like Wigan might actually be a good idea, because it seems to be working with Cleverley. So, it'd be good to see him back in January.
The thing with Wigan as well, I mean, I've seen him a few times, and they are really toothless up front. They don't score many goals, and you know, someone like Makeda could well go there and, you know, make an impression and, you know, get three or four goals or whatever, and he'll come back in good shape. Look at Diouf at Blackburn, scored again at the weekend. A lot of people think that he won't come back to United and he's not good enough, but he's scored a few goals at Blackburn this year, and he's played generally well when I've seen him play, so maybe he's one to look to as well.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net. Or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, just before we preview the next two games coming up, we'll just take a couple of emails quickly. We've got Awab, who's sent in his favourite Solskjaer moment, which was a goal against Celtic back in 2006. I think he mentioned that Solskjaer hadn't scored for quite some time, so to sort of see the adulation in his face when he put it away was a particularly decent moment. He's also talked about the a former United player taking over from Sir Alex Ferguson. That would be a sort of preferable choice. The likes of Steve Bruce, obviously, in the frame, but I'm still sticking with Mourinho as being the one we should get. We won't talk too much about that, as we've discussed it in the past. James McAllister is the second email, and he's talking about who we believe our main rival for the title is now. I think we said Chelsea a few weeks ago, but now it's obviously they've fallen away a bit, and it's Arsenal that have come through. But no, James is still a bit wary of Chelsea. Obviously, still got to play them twice. Dov, who'd be your sort of main threat at the moment? It's got to be Arsenal, isn't it? But you can't discredit City, I suppose, and Chelsea as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say City. Look, obviously they played a couple of the games more than us, but they're sitting in second place, and I think with obviously another transfer window coming up, and with the endless pockets of cash that they've got, they'll bring in some players, and obviously they're in a good position, so they'll think, right, okay, we can actually put a decent run for the title in this. Whereas I think at the start of the season, maybe they weren't realistically going for the title as much, more Champions League, where the position that Mancini's got them in is quite a good one, to be honest, and they've got the money to buy players that could lead them to a good title challenge. So I would be wary of them, because again, everybody is talking about Chelsea and Arsenal. Historically, they've always been the sort of title rivals, but I think City could be ones to watch out for, given that you've got a transfer window coming up.
Good stuff. Well, remember, you can email us on the normal address, which is podcast@redcafe.net, with any sort of questions, suggestions, comments, anything United related, and we'll be sure to mention it on the show.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, guys, we'll look ahead to the next two games now. Obviously, West Brom on Saturday away from home in the Premier League. Dan, I suppose at the moment it's probably a good time to play West Brom. I mean, they've had a few pretty woeful results, really, and I guess they've lost a bit of confidence and belief as well. So going there, we should be, definitely looking to get the 3 points. But no, they should be maybe less of a threat than what they might have been earlier on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've got a bit of pressure on them now because they've got beat by Blackburn, I think, at the weekend at home as well, which is a bad result for them, like you say. It won't be easy, though. I mean, we went to Birmingham thinking, oh, likely to pick up 3 points, really. I know Birmingham hadn't played for a while and we played a few games, but that shouldn't really excuse it. I hope that we go with an attacking formation because West Brom like to play football, and I think if we defend well enough, we can get at them more than what they'll get at us and score a few goals. That's what I'd hope for. I'd also play Anderson. I'd give him another crack at it in the middle. When's Paul Scholes back, by the way? Because we've missed him a lot. And obviously, Nani as well has been out for the last few games. The lack of width shown against Birmingham was amazing, really. We didn't have any wide players. Giggs kept on tucking inside. Rooney kept on going out to the left and then coming and having a shot. Not many people were getting to the byline and creating anything from there. So hopefully we play with a bit more width. Maybe Obertan gets a game. Who knows?
West Brom, obviously talking there about their pretty poor form at the moment, but they've only won once at home as well since October, which you might be a little surprised to hear. But no, would you be tempted to go sort of all-out attack, Berbatov and Rooney as the front two, or will he go obviously away from home again and cautious approach?
I think he'll play with the two up front, given the form Berbatov's in, you can't really drop him, and Wayne Rooney needs a goal. And the way West Brom plays, they play more of an open game. So I think he'll feel that he can go there with maybe like with a lighter midfield and still get a result. So I would expect to see both Berbatov and Rooney start and play four across in the middle of the park.
Good stuff. Well, I'll get your predictions in a minute, but we'll just briefly touch on the Stoke City game in the Premier League again on Tuesday. That's at home. I've always expect a physical battle, obviously, when you play Stoke. But no, this is absolutely the sort of game we're going to have to get 3 points in this. I think it's going to be a really close title race right to the end of the season. So really, your home games, you've got to be winning, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we're quite good at home, I would say. It's a waveform that's really been letting us down, and I think we should get 3 points against Stoke. I think in this one actually, it'd maybe go with five in midfield and play one up at home, even though it is a home game, just because of the physical nature of Stoke City's side. I think, did he not play John O'Shea at left-back against Stoke, just so as to give us more height? So I think maybe something like that, maybe you won't see Evra and Raphael, you maybe see one or the other, just to give us more height, set pieces and things like that. But at home, I think we're quite fantastic, so I would expect us to get 3 points from that one.
Okay, well, it's the predictions time then. I stupidly didn't listen back to the last podcast, but I'm pretty sure I went for 1-1 Birmingham game. So I'll take that as a result. But no, obviously, don't like seeing United draw. Obviously, want to see them win all the time. But what about predictions then for the next two games? Dan, start with you. How do you see, firstly, the West Brom going, West Brom game going, and then the Stoke one?
2-0 both games to United.
Dov, how's it going to go?
I think West Brom, we should have a quite big margin. I think we'll maybe be three goals difference, so 3-0 or 4-1. And then I think the Stoke game will be a bit tighter, so I'm going to go for 1-0. But both wins, of course.
Good to hear. Well, I'm going to go 2-1 at the Hawthorns, and I'm going to go 3-0 against Stoke, which is probably going to be completely wrong, but we can always hope. Well, that is just about the end of episode 62 now of the RedCafe.net podcast. That just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening. Remember, the email address is podcast@redcafe.net. There's also the Facebook group too, so do make sure you get signed up to that if you haven't already. And have a fantastic new year, and we'll see you in 2011.